Everybody stand up for me. Put your arms out like this. Don't hit anybody in the face. Shake your hands. Now you can sit back down again. Just waking you up a little bit. Waking you up a little bit. Yeah, we've got some new Connect cards that we're going to be handing out, but I'm going to hand them out at the end because I'm kind of talking about connection and stuff today. And then there's a little basket in the back to the right of the doors going out. Just drop them in there. How many of you are getting the Mountain Chapel Weekly email? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a whole bunch of you. How many of you are not getting it? Now, do you want it? Would be the other next question. Okay, so if you are not getting that email, then you need to get it at one of the Connect cards, which are going to be... you want to hand them out now? We've got our ushers are on double duty with the offerings and also... So we'll do it right now. So there's these blue Connect cards. If you want one of those, and for two reasons. One, you're not getting those emails. That's how we're going to make sure you get on the email list and you get those emails. So if that's you, you can raise your hand and Sarah is going to bring you one. And then secondly, if you're new here, this is your first time, and you would like those emails, then you need to grab one of those Connect cards. It's also the way we get some just connection information so we can keep you in the loop of what's going on. And then also the third thing that if you're brand new, you get a free coffee at the coffee bar. So there's a little brown free coffee. You're not new, Hadmi. Hadmi doesn't get one. Don't give her one. If there's more of those Connect cards, if you didn't get one, see us and we'll make sure that you get one, especially throughout the summer. But Aaron is, she's with the worship team, but Aaron Hull has been stepped up in typing out this weekly email. It's awesome. And it tells you all the ways that you can connect, all the things that are going on, all the stuff that's happening. So you want to make sure you get on that email list and so you can just stay connected with all of what's going on. There's also included in there is a little recap of the message from the week before. And so if you weren't here, you get to kind of stay connected in what we're talking about and where we're going and things that are happening. So we gave them all away. Okay, so we'll get some more. And then if you're so there's these coffee cards right there that Ollie's got. If you're visiting for the first time and you're not too embarrassed, will you raise your hand? If you want free coffee, you've got to raise your hand. And Ollie will bring you one of those if you're a first timer. Yeah, welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming. Get some coffee on us. Right after the service, the coffee shop's back open again. And hang out, get some coffee. Okay. Yes. Good. Done. Did I get everything? All right. So, a couple weeks ago, if you didn't get one, we want to make sure you get one. I don't know how many we printed up, but if we need to print more, we will. But I'm going to talk a little bit about connection today and about family, about church family. And I heard something when we were at the Leaders Advance. It was actually in the senior leaders. They do a question and answer senior leaders thing. And so it was like Eric and Candace were up there and Bill and Chris. And then it was senior leader, so it was from the river. What's his name? Rich Oliver was up there, and then what's his name from the church in Vacaville was up there. David Crone was up there. Anyway, that doesn't matter too much, but I'm stuck on it. So they were all up there, and people were sending them questions. And anyway, somebody asked the question. They texted the questions to him. Somebody asked the question. Directed at Bethel, how, with all the people, I think Bethel's got like 7,000 people now and 5 services on Sunday, with all the people and all the things that are happening, how do you make sure that people stay connected? It was something like that. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember. But it was something to that effect. And Candace said something that just totally stuck in my head. And I typed it out really quick on my phone. And it kind of turned into what I'm going to talk about today. And what she said was, this is pretty close to a quote. I was typing as fast as I realized I heard it. And I was like, oh, that's my heart. And so I grabbed it and it led me to kind of this thing. But basically, she said that we want to help facilitate connection, but we cannot own the responsibility of making sure that people don't fall through the cracks. And I started thinking about, like, what does that mean? Like, because we had been talking about trying to make sure that people don't fall through the cracks in connection and relationship and church. And how do we make sure? And it had been kind of a motivation in recent conversations. It's probably why it stuck out to me. And she basically went on to explain that it's our job as the leaders. Remember, the question was asked to them, how do you make sure people don't fall through the cracks? And she said, well, we facilitate connection. We don't necessarily own the fact or the responsibility of people not falling through the cracks. That's really, it's on them to not fall through the cracks. It's on us to just provide an opportunity. And so I started thinking about what that mindset, like I said, because we had been talking about how do we do better at making sure people don't fall through the cracks. And while that is some responsibility, and we're taking it, as you're seeing with emails and trying to stay connected, it's more important that we focus on the actual connection, not just filling cracks, if that makes sense. And anyway, it started me on this whole thought process and focusing on the structure that provides the opportunities, rather than a structure that chases people. And to be totally honest with you, it's kind of funny how easy it is to fall into a trap of thinking that my job is to get people to come to and to like church. And it might sound silly, but it really is it's a ledge. It's kind of a ledge that you walk on, because you do want people to come and you do want people to like being at church. You know, I love the church and I want people to be here and to be part of what we're doing. And but it's right there, this edge. It's easy to fall into, to that actually becomes a motivation. It actually becomes like, we need to chase after people to make sure that they're coming and making sure that they're liking church. And does that make sense? Like, there's this line that it's easy to fall over. And really what we want church to be is all about the pursuit of God and being in His presence and encountering Him. And as we do that, a family is developed. And what I started thinking and kind of processing through is, and we refer to the church as a family, especially, you know, our church specifically as a family. And but church, the church as a family, is not just. It needs to be intentional. It's not just a good idea. It's actually God's idea. His design for His people was family. And we see it all through Scripture, God referring to Himself in Scripture as a Father, referring to His followers as sons and daughters. This structure of family, adoption, and even being born into a family of believers, a family that has a Father God. And so we see this structure, and really most of the New Testament is actually the apostles investing in developing this structure in the church of, this is what the family of God acts like, and this is what the family of God needs to carry, and perspectives and all those kind of things. If you've never seen this before, there's a whole bunch of scripture about picturing and creating this family environment. But 1 John 3 says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And in Ephesians 2:19, it says that we're called the household of God. There's a whole bunch of them. that you can find this. Some of them are somewhat, I guess, elusive, but basically this idea that becoming a Christian is becoming part of a family. And I realized too, in just studying this, and I came from some of you guys that were here last week got to meet my mom, and my dad was here too, and then my older sister and her kids, and a lot of you guys have met or seen my family. And I got the blessing of being part of a real healthy family. Of course, my family had problems like anybody else, but I had in all, basically, most ways, my family was really healthy. I never doubted my parents loving me all growing up. They always looked after me and loved me. I always felt loved and protected and safe with my parents, which is a huge deal. Not so much always with my older sister. She was not always loving and safe for me. But I think I've told the story before. I remember I think I was in about 8th grade, maybe a freshman, but I think I was about 8th grade. And my sister, we loved each other, but my sister picked on me quite a bit, and she was bigger and stronger than me. But I remember 8th grade, she had me pinned on the ground. I think I remember the part of the house on the carpet. She's got me pinned down on the ground, and she's teasing me and doing whatever. And I can remember looking up at her, and for the first time in my life, I went, "Wah!" And she kind of raised up like this, and from that moment, everything changed. 8th grade did me pretty good. So all of a sudden we are now equals because you can't hold me down anymore. But yeah, my sister and I have had a great relationship. And so for pretty much all intents and purposes, I have a pretty healthy family. And so when I think about and when I compare the family of God to family, the word family, I think, yeah, that's awesome. Because I felt loved and safe and encouraged and empowered in my family. But I know that that's not everybody's experience of family. Sometimes, oftentimes our experience of family isn't healthy. It's not safe. It's not empowering. It's controlling. It's anger. It's scary. There's a whole bunch of actually negative connotation that comes with the word family. And so really what we're doing and what we're working on in the church is trying to define and teach and develop healthy family. That's the structure that was given to us, and the choice of structure that God has given to us, referring to Himself as a father and us as basically siblings and sons and daughters of a father. And so it's not enough to just call us a family, but to actually define what does a healthy family look like. And so I've done that quite a bit, over the years of just teaching, and we'll continue to do that. And this isn't just really a message on that, but we have to start with that idea. What I'm going to talk about, we have to start with this idea that we are developing and creating a healthy family inside the church, to know, to be able to go the direction that I'm going. Because what I want to do is, I want to actually ask the question, how do we be a part of this family? And I can look around this room and I can see all different levels of connection and interaction with this family. From this is the first time you're here, and this is the first time you're hearing me, and it's like you're being introduced, to you've been here for longer than I've been alive. And it's, that's part of what you've been doing for a long time. And then everything, of course, everything in between. And so what I want to talk about really is how do we move forward in being family? What can, like I said, the original statement that inspired this was that it kind of stirred me up was that it's our job to facilitate connection, if we add in there, facilitate connection to the family that we have happening here. But we can't own the responsibility of making sure, all the responsibility of making sure people don't fall through the cracks. That responsibility actually falls on you. And you're first deciding that I won't fall through the cracks. Just deciding, I'm not going to fall through the cracks. I'm going to be part of a family. I'm actually going to be part of a family. And so what I want to talk about is, how do we do that? How do we move forward, and why is it so important? And so, I'm going to give you three questions. I love questions because questions create the motivation for answers. Oftentimes, you know, I can come up with an answer and I can give you an answer, but if you never ask the question, then you won't retain it. I do in premarital counseling. We talk a lot about answers to questions that people don't have because they haven't been married. So oftentimes it's trying to give them information that they don't know they need yet. And so what I want to do, and what I often do even when I'm preaching, is to actually create questions. And if you guys can ask the questions and you believe that question, then it'll start you on a journey to find these answers. And that's kind of really what I want to do. And what I'm going to ask you is whether or not, no matter what the answer is, if you'll honestly over the next, you know, period of time, to ask yourself honestly these questions. Even if the answer is, I don't care, that's fine. But to honestly ask these questions of yourself throughout the week, throughout the rest of the day, however long you can make it last. Honestly, I think that it's a lifetime thing, that if you can continually ask yourself these questions in regard to this, the church family, wherever you go, no matter how long you've been here, whether you've been, no matter how long you've been a part of, you know, God's family, no matter how long you've been a Christian for 40 years or 14 minutes, it doesn't matter. These questions should constantly be a part of your thought process. So the first question is, am I connected? Am I connected? And we're going to talk a little bit about why it's important to be connected, aside from just the obvious reason of wanting to be connected. But it posts, of course, another question is where, if the answer is yes, then where are you connected? Who are you actually doing family with? Being a Christian is not just about believing, it's about belonging. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, if you've got your Bibles, this is a real familiar scripture to a lot of us. I'll read some of it. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I've taught on this verse before. I've been reading this verse for a long time. And one of the things that I realized as I was reading this verse is that the context it had in my mind, that it was actually about, it was somewhat about finding a place. Finding a job, finding a place, and that whether you're a hand or an ear or an eye or whatever, to find a place to be connected. But what I realize is that it's less about defining your place and more about focusing on connection. That no matter what your place is, no matter what it is that you're doing, make sure that you're connected to the body. It's actually this group of verses is more about connection than it is about purpose, if that makes sense. I used to always, and it's a great verse, but I used to always preach this verse and use this verse to talk about purpose. That we all have different purposes in the body, but we all need to serve a purpose in order to be part of the body, which I think is included in there. But I started realizing as I was reading it under this context is that it's actually more about being connected than it is about what part you are. If you read, continue down to 25, it says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That there's this connection, and it was kind of just neat to all of a sudden realize. And of course, it's about unity, it's about connection, it's there. But being part of the body is not just about focusing on what part you are, but it's about being part of the body. It's about the connection. How do I know I'm connected? How do I know if I'm connected? How do you answer the question, that first question, am I connected? Well, how do you know you're connected? And first of all, I'll say that connection is more about feeling than knowing. It's actually more about feeling than knowing. Now, how many of you guys know that you can know that you're connected? You can make a list of all the ways that you're connected. You can talk about all the time you spent. You can know it and still not feel connected. That makes sense. I'm just trying to think through how far I want to go into knowing and feeling, but for a lot of us, it's those are the same thing. But your knower and your feeler have to be identified as two separate things. While they're both you, they're both a representation of who you are. They're actually two separate thought processes. You can know things and not feel things, and you can feel things and not know them. Happens all the time. We don't necessarily recognize it, but you can know things and know things and know things. Even when they don't feel true, you can just choose to believe, and it's actually real necessary oftentimes. Faith is about, sometimes, most of the time, is about knowing. Faith is about knowing. It's about, like, I'm going to choose even though I don't feel this. I'm going to choose. I'm going to make a powerful choice even though I don't feel like this is true. I'm going to choose to step out in faith. And then oftentimes we have feelings where you're passionate about something, but you can't define why. You don't know why. And that there's this passion and connection. And so understanding that we have these two major parts, that actually connection, while it is important to know that you're connected, to answer that question, am I connected, you have to actually say, do I feel connected? Because if you ask the question, am I connected, and you start to make a list of all the ways you're connected, but you look at that list and you go, wow, I'm going to all these meetings and I'm doing all these things, why don't I feel connected? So it's important to understand and that it includes the way that you feel. It includes the way that you feel, not just a list of going to more meetings or anything like that, but that actually being part of a family includes the way that you feel. And second, now this kind of, I wrote it down in like two different ways because I'm hoping that I can communicate this right. That you can't connect everywhere. I think that this verse about the body is actually really important, that there actually the hand is connected to the body, but it's connected directly to the arm, or maybe more clearly to the wrist, which is connected to on and on and on. But oftentimes the hand doesn't want to be connected to the wrist, or they want to be connected to the ankle, or they want to be connected to directly to the shoulder, or they want to, you understand what I'm saying, or maybe the foot wants to be closer to the head, or the whatever it is. Defining that connection, defining where it is, and realizing that, because the reason why I include this is oftentimes people think that if I'm not connected to everyone, I don't want to be connected. And especially in a small environment like this, where we tell ourselves like, well, it should be like this. The body's small enough that the foot should be able to be connected to the shoulder. Understand where we're going? Does this make sense? But part of feeling is actually being able, or part of connecting and feeling that connection is to be able to define where that you are connected. And that might change, which is where we kind of lose track of the body situation, because we can move around and be connected to different places. But expectation, and having an expectation that's higher than the reality that you're experiencing, can be discouraging. And in connection and in family, we want to avoid discouragement. We deal with it when we're discouraged, but we want to avoid doing things that create discouragement, right? Does anybody want to? So really it's defining, where am I connected? How am I connected? And that the whole point of the body is that actually in developing and celebrating the connection that I have, I actually get to be connected with the rest. But what happens oftentimes, I know I'm mixing metaphors or jumping in and out of metaphor, but that the hand wants to be closer connected to the heart. And so in their effort to try to get closely connected to the heart, they actually bypass their connection. And then therefore they feel disconnected. That makes sense. And so what we want to do is we want to focus on, celebrate, and develop the connection that we have. Like, I'm actually am connected to the heart through the wrist and the elbow and the shoulder. I'm very connected. Is that, you guys with me? Okay. So super important to actually think about, develop, celebrate the connection that you have. It doesn't mean that you don't overdo the metaphor. Because we are a small environment, we are a small family, and you do have connection, but that connection is best felt in celebrating and developing the connection that you have. Okay. All right, the second question is, am I growing? Now, we're kind of pulling away from connection a little bit, even though it's all about connection, but we're focusing on family. Like, how do I be a part of a loving, healthy family? The second question is, am I growing? How are you being fed? How are you learning? Being stretched? Being challenged? Life's a journey, not a destination. Be concerned when you stop moving. I said this before, but the New Testament is pretty much written for us to grow. You know, if you look at the New Testament, it's basically a group of letters written to the early church for them to grow. Like, you're doing great, but you should keep growing. Keep doing this, keep doing this, keep doing this. Change this a little bit. It's basically what the New Testament is. It's this group of letters. There's other things in there, of course, but there's this group of letters from the apostles sending to these churches. It was before we could send out weekly emails. And they were sending these letters saying, hey, you should do this, and you should work on this, and I'm hearing this about you, and this is wonderful. Make sure that you're developing this in your culture, and make sure that... And they actually created the family culture, and this is what God's telling me, and this is what... And they created this culture, and people had to learn and adjust and to grow. And growth is a huge part of being family. And one of the things that I realized early on is that I actually really embrace and enjoy change. Now, growth is change in itself. You have to change to grow. And I found that people are not as excited about change as I oftentimes am. Some people are downright allergic to it. But the fact is if we, you know, it doesn't matter, honestly, it doesn't matter what pace you grow. Has nothing to do with it. As long as you're moving. As long as you're growing. As long as you're actively involved in your growth process with the Lord. Don't just let it happen to you, but actually show up for it. And one of the examples of a great scripture for this happening, I'll just give you the reference, and you guys can look it up, but Philippians 1:1-11, it's basically Paul encouraging the Philippians, you're doing great, but keep growing. He's stuck in prison at the time, and he says, listen, I'm in change. I wish I was on my way to you, but I'm not. I don't know when I'm coming, basically, next time. But keep growing. Keep developing. Keep going after it. And a lot of letters actually kind of start that way, but this is a great example of this encouragement to grow. We have to own our growth. The cross needs to be seen as the beginning of a journey, not the destination. Years ago, probably 5 years ago, we took that cross and we hung it on the back of the church for the reason that, and there's a message about it, but for the reason, the understanding that we don't forget about the cross. We never forget about the cross. We're always in the presence of, you know, it's why we take communion every month, and that we never leave behind what has brought us where we are now. But the cross is not in front of us, it's behind us. We've come through the cross, and that's why we are where we are. That Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could come there and stay there. He died on the cross so we could pass through. He died on the cross so we could be on the other side. So we could experience the freedom of relationship. Now, He's the way, the truth, and the life. So there's only one door. But putting the cross in front of the door seemed like it would be hard to get around. So we had to put it over there, and we realized that, you know, it's kind of this symbol. I can remember having the conversation when Steve Clark was here, and it used to actually be right there. And I preached this message, and we were talking about it, and somehow we're like, we should move that to the back. Because the symbolizing that the cross is behind us, we've come through the cross. And that we are actually on the other side of redemption and forgiveness and the blood of Christ. So, anyway, I don't even know why I brought that up. Oh, because the cross it marks the beginning of a journey, not the end. That being forgiven is not arriving. It's actually the beginning of, now how does a free, forgiven, righteous people act? And how does that work in a family? That takes growth. It takes change. One of the most humbling things, and I've told this a whole bunch of times, but one of the most humbling things about this place, and maybe it happens all over the place, but I haven't been all over the place. I've only been a senior pastor here. One of the most humbling things that happens here is when people that have been believers in relationship with God longer than I've been alive, some of them, come up to me and tell me that they learned something from me. That's just amazing to me. Not because of me, but because of them. Like the humility it takes and the willingness to grow, no matter how long, they have never set that down. They've never said, I know enough. I've got enough. I've learned enough. They're always going, I've got to grow. There's more of God to get. There's more of God to know and to learn. And it's what creates healthy family. Yeah, I guess so with me. You okay? Yeah, so am I growing? And then the third question is, am I serving? Where are you serving? In what way are you giving of yourself? Now there's an amazing story that I'm sure you've either heard reference to or read it yourself. And if you want to turn there to John 13. I'm going to read it just because I don't want to mess it up. Maybe. I'll start reading in 12, but basically to set this up, Jesus is getting close to his arrest, and he comes in one night and a whole bunch of things are happening, but he washes the disciples' feet. And if you know the story, he gets to Peter, and Peter says, no, you shouldn't be washing my feet. And Jesus says, basically, if you don't let me wash your feet, you're out. Okay, then wash my head and my hands. And he says, no, I only need to wash your feet. And anyways, it goes on. And so what's awesome is after he does this, they all kind of, I can just picture it. Now, they don't know, of course, what's going to happen. We don't see anywhere in Scripture that the disciples really understood what was going to happen. They didn't get it until afterwards. Really, I think maybe until the Holy Spirit showed up. So they just see him as this amazing teacher, this prophet, probably the Son of God. Not really sure what that really means for us, but he's amazing. We want to serve him. He's got the words of life. Like, we see that. We're all in with you, Jesus. We don't even know what that means yet, but we're all in with you. And so this is happening, and all of a sudden Jesus begins to wash their feet, which is a servant's job. It's a humbling servant's job. And it just kind of, it feels like and it sounds like, until he gets to Peter, which begins to, of course, argue, they're just all kind of dumbfounded by it. They're just like, okay, We'll just do what He says. And in verse 12, it says, "So when He had finished washing their feet, taken His garments and sat down again, He said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" Now, I just love this verse because it's such a great revealing of God's heart, of Jesus' heart. This idea that's so anti-culture, that power and authority and honor don't mean being at the top. That actually in the kingdom and in a healthy family, that pyramid of authority actually flips upside down. Jesus said it in another way, that the first shall be last. That there's this idea that actually the greatest leadership, the most powerful people are the ones that are serving everyone else. And I don't mean they're getting used up and they're burning out and all those things, and they only do. That doesn't mean that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't show them that. But what He did show is that I can actually confidently, remaining your Lord and teacher. Where He said, "You recognize Me and you call Me Lord and teacher," which is right. As your Lord and teacher, I can do this without losing my identity. I can actually do the job of a servant. And then He goes on to say that you need to learn this lesson. Don't forget this lesson. Don't forget to serve each other. Don't forget to have this posture. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. He knew where they were going. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the authority that they would have. And He said, "Don't forget that I washed your feet." The Lord and Savior, teacher, washed your feet. Don't forget. It's so important. And so going back to our question, are you serving? Are you serving? Is there somewhere in your life that you are pouring your gifts, your strengths, there's something you're pouring out where you're not getting, it's not for your glory, but for theirs, for God's. You're not building an empire, you're not building a ministry, you're not building, but you're just investing. You're pouring into someone else's life. Is there somewhere in your life that that's happening? Because there should be. How does the environment around you experience you? When you enter into an environment as a servant. Now, as being a pastor, I've been a pastor for about 20 years. I've been in the church and worked with hundreds, probably thousands of volunteers. And there's all different kinds of volunteers. But when a powerful servant walks in the room, you always know. As the person that is leading a meeting, you always know. They're the first person that says, can I help you with that? Could I do that for you? Could I? They're looking, it's part of their core, it's part of their culture, it's part of what they is that they want to serve. Is there anything I can do? Oftentimes there's not, but is there anything I can do? Can I do that? Can I do that? Now, are you serving? So I'll end with this. I know that connection is work. Family is work. There's actually a lot easier ways to come to church than to be part of a family. It's actually a lot easier to pass through an environment than to actually insert yourself into it. It's really easy to just show up and to leave and to just get a little bit. And honestly, if that's what you're... If that's your deal, this is not a... that's fine. But if you're asking these questions, and if there's a not from me, but if there's a Holy Spirit on it, this conviction that goes, I probably need to be more involved in this family. I believe it's the design that God set up from the creation of time. I believe that the in the garden there was family, at least the beginning of what family was going to look like. And Adam and Eve both sabotaged that by bringing sin in. And Jesus, and it didn't go away. There's dozens of verses in the Old Testament before the New Covenant where God actually refers to Himself as Father and us as sons, as followers, as His chosen people, as sons and daughters. So it's always been His heart to have a family. It's always been His heart for us to be a family. But after Christ came back and reestablished that relationship, children to Father, I believe it's the design that we're going after. And it's definitely the design that this church is going to go after and is going after. And so I want to encourage you. I realized a while back, this was probably years ago when we were first here, that actually a lot of people come to church and don't want to change and don't want to be part of a family. And I want to say, you're totally welcome here. I just believe that there's more for you. Like, you're absolutely welcome to just come and attend and just be a part on Sunday mornings and get what you came for, and that's totally fine. And I'm not asking anybody to leave. But I'm not going to pull my conviction about us going deeper and being connected and being a healthy family. I realize me talking about connection and commitment and ownership and all those things actually can make people uncomfortable. I guess that's what I'm saying. And it's not my intention. But I'm also not avoiding it. If that makes sense. Because I believe that it's what God's calling us to. See, within a family, there's certain things. How many of you guys know that, obviously, a healthy family. How many of you guys know family will tell you things that nobody else would tell you? Sometimes they enjoy it a little bit too much, but yeah. They'll come to you and they'll tell you. They'll tell you stuff that you don't even really want to hear, but they'll tell you. You're going to wear that to church? No? Not anymore, thanks. Yeah, family. So family and connection, it's work. It's work. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes patience. It takes all the things that being a family takes. But you've got to believe that the reward's worth the price. We've got to convince ourselves that the reward's worth the price. Someone recently just told me that in a conversation a husband and wife had, that they upped their own commitment to Mount Chapel's church family, basically saying that, like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to go out another time. It's worth it to stay a little bit longer. It's worth it to whatever it is. Whatever it is that you're pursuing, this is worth it to go out another night. Anyways, I know it's work. I know it's work to connect. I know it's work to grow, and I know it's work to serve. It is. It's work. And it takes a lot, but you have to understand, you have to believe that the reward for it, that the connection to family, is worth the price you pay. We live in yesterday's sacrifice and commitment. We get to live in what we sacrificed and committed to yesterday. I think oftentimes we wait and say, like, well, I'll show up and I'll invest when I feel like I'm connected. But the deal is that showing up and the work you've got to do, you don't get the benefit till tomorrow. You know, we live right now. The connection that you're either enjoying or not enjoying is the fruit of yesterday's commitment and sacrifice. I'll say that one more time, because the connection and family, experience of family, that you're either enjoying or not enjoying right now, I believe is a direct result of sacrifice and commitment from yesterday, from before. If it's a great connection, or if it's not. You guys there? You okay? Today we invest in tomorrow's connection. So those are the three questions. Am I connecting? Am I growing? Am I serving? Will you guys stand up with me? Purpose of the purpose of this message is to develop a healthy family, because I think a healthy family, well, I'll say it like this. With the Holy Spirit and pursuing and following after God, if we can't do it, how can we expect anybody else to? I mean, the world needs a healthy family. The world needs us to put in the work. I know it's work, but the world needs it. God's design for His people was to be a family. And that family to take over the world. I know that sounds a little aggressive, but take over the world as in spread around the world. And not to be controlling, not to be religious, not to be, but to be family. Now, I understand that family is not attractive to everyone. But for the most part, it comes from a place of not having a good experience with family. This family should be a good experience. This family should be good news. This family should be relaying the heart of God, the heart of the Father. Lord, we just thank You for... I thank You that we can. I thank You that we can. We can do what You've called us to do. That You give us the means, You give us the time, You give us the power and the passion, that all we have to do is pick it up. All we have to do is own it. Lord, we just thank You that You designed not a controlling environment, not a religious environment, but Lord, You designed a loving family, that we would operate in a loving family with You as our Father. I thank You, Lord, that the church gets to be a family. We get to be a family. And I pray that as we're in this pursuit of what it looks like to be a family, that You just stir up our hearts. That You just motivate our hearts. We know that it's a lot of work, that it's a challenge for a whole bunch of reasons. But Lord, we just pray that You give us extra doses of peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, love, gentleness, self-control, Lord. You just pour out the fruit of the Spirit, that we would be connected and become and be family. Yeah, thank You, Lord, that You have such good plans for this place and for these people and for this town and for this county and for this state, for this country, for this earth. Lord, we thank You that You got good plans. Bless You. We love You. Amen.